Great to see all of you here once again this evening in preparation for Mother's Day. I put together two sermons, and the one I actually preached this morning was going to be for tonight, and I think the Lord changed that and laid it on my heart that that was the one that a lot of younger people needed to hear, as well as older people. And so tonight I'm going to preach the other one. So here's you another Mother's Day sermon, all right? I want to speak from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 26 to 28 in the New King James. I want to speak tonight on to honor the honorable. And whenever you think about Mother's Day and the importance of it, let me tell you, we come to the book of 1 Samuel. There's a focus there that's given to a godly mother. And I want us to look at Hannah tonight, who was the mother of Samuel. Her name is Hannah. She was a wonderful mother. She was a dynamic mother. She was a person who knew how to pray. And she prayed fervently. She prayed faithfully. And she prayed focused upon what she was asking God to give her in her life. And her son, Samuel, would become the last of the judges, one of the greatest leaders of the nation of Israel, who brought the nation back, or called the nation back to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27a, it says, "And she said," speaking of Hannah, "O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here, praying to the Lord for this child. I prayed for this child. I prayed." That was Hannah's heart cry. That was the heartbeat of Hannah. Would to God that that would be the heartbeat of every mother in the world today. This was the heart. This was the soul. This was the most inward thoughts of Hannah, this godly mother. And she said, "For this child," speaking of Samuel, "I prayed." Maybe like Hannah, you prayed for a child before in your life. Maybe you prayed for them before they were ever born. Maybe you've prayed for them since they were born. Maybe you're praying for them right now about special things in their life. They may have drifted away from God. They may even have gone off and done things and wound up in prison. They may be out there somewhere tonight in the far country breaking your heart. They may have turned against the values that you taught them, that you brought them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But as a mother, don't ever give up. Continue to pray for them constantly and fervently and faithfully and focusedly and effectively. The best things in life that you could ever give your children, as I spoke to this morning, was to be the kind of godly mother God wants you to be. In verse 27 and 28, she said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Someone made this observation in the form of poetry about the value of a mother. Someone said, "They say a man is mighty. He rules o'er land and sea. He wields a mighty scepter o'er all the powers that be. But there's a mightier power, and strong man from his throne has hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rocks the world." And how true that is. This evening in our text, we see Hannah, a mother. We see the birth of a God-given son by the name of Samuel, the one who would turn a nation that was drifting deeper and deeper into the dark ages of their history, into sin. It was a time that the judges had come. It was a time that the Bible said, "And every man did that which was right in his own sight." Let me tell you, Hannah prayed for this son, and God raised up Samuel, this judge. He would be true to God. He would be a man of prayer, and he would bring the nation of Israel back to a place of obedience to Almighty God. There are four things tonight I want us to see. First of all, I want us to see this mother's problem. Hannah lived in an imperfect world. Hannah lived in an imperfect environment. Hannah lived in a sin-filled world. You and I tonight can identify with the problems of a mother. you and I can identify with the problems that are in the world tonight, the problems that are being faced. In Hannah's day in her world, what had taken place was that Hannah, like in her day, it's true in our day, is because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin had entered into Hannah's home. Hannah had prayed for a child, but the problem that was in her home was that Hannah's husband was married to two women. There was polygamy that was going on. It was a problem. God never sanctioned that. God was never for that. God never set that up as the standard. God set up the home as one man married to one woman for a lifetime. That's the way God did it. But Hannah lived in a home where there were problems, there were issues. In fact, the other wife's name was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children. And she taunted Hannah pretty much the whole time. Because in that day, not true in our day, not true in the society and the culture that you and I live in, but in that day, if you were childless, it was looked as that God did not favor you in any way. And so you can imagine the issues, the problems that stemmed from this imperfect environment. Here are two wives, two women, one childless, one who had children. And so Hannah began to pray. She prayed that God would give her a child. Now, let me tell you, in this home, in homes today, all over America, in homes, in many places in the world, there are the blended families. And oftentimes, families don't blend very well. Have you ever noticed that? Maybe you've seen that. Maybe you've been a part of that in some way in your family. You may be a single mom trying to raise a child by yourself with the help of a helpmate or a husband or a father. And so there's a problem in the home. When I think about homes today, we sing, God, give us Christian homes. Let me tell you, that's the key. The key is a godly mother and a godly father that will rear their children, train them up in the way they should go. And that's in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The Bible says, when they're old, they'll not depart from that. Well, let me tell you, there were great challenges in Hannah's home. She realized that there was a problem. She realized that there were great issues. She realized that she had to get along and get serious with God. Let me tell you, being a mother, I think all of you could identify with this. Being a grandmother, many grandparents are raising grandchildren today. I read not long ago where many of the millennials are moving home. Many of that generation are moving home and still living in the home with their parents. Let me tell you, being a mom in an ever-changing, complex world is one of the greatest challenges that women have today. Here's Hannah. She's a mom. She's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but she loves God. And so there's this conflict in the home with the other wife. And so Hannah begins to pray. She struggles. There's conflict. Let me tell you, it may be that the rebellion of one of your children has created you a lot of grief and a lot of heartache and a lot of conflict within your own life. Maybe it's destroyed the unity and the harmony in the home. Well, no doubt Hannah could identify with that. Hundreds of years ago, she realized the culture of her time was a time that the nation of Israel was being ruled by judges, and she prays and she prays and she prays for God, and she realizes that this child that she's praying for, that God would give her, will grow up in a very godless period of Israel's history. You see, there's lots of challenges tonight for families out there in our culture, in an ever-changing society where truth is not looked upon as objective truth that God gives, but the truth that is looked upon in the world that you and I live in this evening is a subjective truth. It's just whatever is true to you becomes true. But in reality, what is objective truth? What Jesus said when he said, I am truth. Jesus said, I am the way. You want to go to heaven? you have to go through me. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the truth. We wonder what truth is in an ever-changing society that we live in with all of the confusion and the chaos and all of the things that are said on the various news channels. And you turn to one and one is diametrically opposed to the other. And you know, you have to ask yourself the question, what is truth? What is truth when it comes to these political issues? Who is really telling us the truth about some of these things? Let me tell you, in the world that we live in tonight, there are ever abounding value and principle issues and lifestyle changes and peer pressures, and the stresses upon the family is incredibly great. It's a great challenge to families everywhere. The culture from without, the Bible says of that day that Hannah lived in, that every man did that which was right in his own sight. Once again, subjective truth. Put me in the situation and I determine what is truth. There is no objective truth. That isn't what Jesus said. Jesus said, there is truth and he's truth. And we live in a culture that says, we don't want the Ten Commandments anymore. We live in a culture that says we're not interested in what the Bible has to say about the family. We're not interested in what God has to say about marriage any longer. That is so archaic. It is so old-fashioned. You see, that's the world that many of our kids and grandchildren are growing up in today. And then they don't know what they think. They don't know what they believe. You see, we live in a society today that is so ever-changing. It's a society that doesn't want to hear the word of God. It's a society that makes fun of the vice president's faith, his faith in Jesus, his faith in pro-life issues, his faith in the marriage of a man and a woman. You see, we live in a culture that has basically rejected God. Oh, we say in God we trust. We believe in God, but yet every man does that which is right in his own sight. Hannah was experiencing some great issues, some great problems. And so a mother's problem, conflict in the home, two wives of polygamy, one taunting the other one because she did not have a child. Secondly, I want you to notice this mother's prayer. Hannah had a fervent prayer life. She prayed at the temple. That was the place of worship down there at Shiloh at the tabernacle. And she got so caught up in her prayer life that her lips were moving, but she wasn't saying anything. The priest had some sons. They were as ungodly as they come. They were alcoholics who constantly caused problems, and they constantly turned the place of worship into a house of corruption. And the priest himself was also so carnal and worldly that he thought that Hannah was drunk herself. But Hannah wasn't drunk. Hannah was just so caught up in the fervency of her prayer of begging and praying and asking God to send her a child that nothing else in the world mattered. And she was caught up in this prayer time. She was fervent in her prayer. She was faithful in her prayer life. Let me tell you, she wanted a child, and she never gave up, and she never ceased to pray. There are a lot of mothers this evening that are praying fervently for their children. Maybe you've been one of those. You're praying because they've gone away. They've gone astray. Let me tell you, moms, keep on praying. Don't give up. Don't quit, because God is in the business of hearing your prayer. Not only was Hannah a fervent prayer warrior, she was a faithful prayer warrior, but I want you to know, thirdly, her prayer was focused. It was focused. She had focused her prayer and said, for this child, I prayed. I wonder how many kids' lives have been changed because of the prayers of their mothers. Now, there's an old song that says, if I could hear my mother pray again. Anybody ever heard that out there? How many of you ever heard that old song? It's at least 100 years old, I'm sure, or thereabouts. If I could hear my mother pray again. Let me tell you, Hannah's life was a life that was focused on prayer. Only eternity will determine how much our mother's prayers have meant to us and our grandmother's prayers. You see, when sick or when off on that first day of school, when we grow into adolescence and begin to be exposed to the challenges of maturity as a teenager, or on that first date, let me tell you, a godly mother prays about all of those situations in the heart and life of her grandchildren and the heart and life of her own children. Well, Hannah had a problem, but Hannah also had a prayer life. I want you to know, thirdly, we see a mother's promise. Hannah not only had this problem, but she had a promise from God. Look at verse 11. It says, "Then she," speaking of Hannah, "made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." That's speaking of the Nazarite vow. Hannah made a promise to God that if God would answer this prayer and give her this child, give her this son, that she would dedicate him back to the Lord. Last Sunday morning, we had baby and children dedication day. I'm always so grateful and so thankful when we have children dedication day and these young parents bring these precious little children to church to be dedicated to the Lord. I hope that they are doing as Hannah did. I hope they are vowing to say, "Lord, I dedicate this child back to you. You are the giver of this child to me. You've lent this child to me, and I give this child back to you in consecration and commitment." Let me tell you, your child may not grow up to be a preacher like Samuel. Your child may not grow up to be a missionary like Jim Elliot, but your child can grow up to be whatever God chooses for them to be. Your child may grow up to be a devoted mother who will rear your grandchildren in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But in spite of all that, it really doesn't matter. You see, it doesn't have to be a preacher like Samuel was. All you have to do is just say, "God, this is your child. You've just put this child on loan to me. And I want to be the best godly mother that I can be. I want to be focused in my prayer life. I want to be fervent in my prayer life. I want to be faithful in my prayer life." If we as Christians truly believe that one of the greatest weapons that we have in our arsenal as a Christian against Satan, if we truly believe that prayer is the key that unlocks the door of heaven, let me tell you, we should all be challenged. We should all be committed to be more prayerful. I like the old song that says, "I would be prayerful through each busy moment. I would be constantly in touch with God." Let me ask you a question tonight, parents, moms, grandmoms. Are you constantly in touch with God? Do you pray every day for your children? Do you pray every day for your grandchildren? "God, put a hedge, put a covering, let your angels encamp about them and keep them safe from the enemy of the culture out there at large." Let me tell you, the world is filled with all kinds of problems. It was true in Hannah's day. It's true in our day. Let me tell you, whatever vocation God uses your child in, you can say, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, you heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Let me tell you, Hannah made an incredible promise to God. And she said, "God, if you'll give me this child, then I'll dedicate this child. I'll give this child back to you." So we see a mother's problem, much like mother's problems today. We see a mother's prayer, much like many prayer warrior mothers today. We see a mother's promise. Many mothers out there saying, "God, I give you my child. I consecrate them to you." But I want you to notice, lastly, this mother's payment. In verse 20, it says, "So it came to pass in the process of time." I love that phrase in the Bible. "And it came to pass in the process of time." I tell you, everything, there is a season. There's a time to every purpose under the heaven. There is a time to be born. Solomon said. Notice, so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Did you realize the name Samuel means heard of God? Heard of God. His name was answered prayer. No doubt that every time little Samuel came skipping in the house, I can only imagine that Hannah looked at him and realized how effective her fervent prayers, her faithful prayers, her focused prayers had been as she looked at him and realized that God answered her prayer. She began to pay her vow to the Lord. The Bible says that although the family went up every year to Shiloh to worship, that after Samuel was born, Hannah didn't go for a while. She just said to her husband and the other wife, you go on. I've given this child to the Lord and I've got to train him. For as soon as he's weaned, she said, I'm going to take him down there to the temple. And there I'm going to give him to the high priest to raise in the temple because he belongs to God. And so Hannah taught him at home and she trained Samuel. What a wonderful role of a wonderful godly mom. What a wonderful time it must have been just with she and Samuel as she trained him. And then when he came to that place, she took him to the temple and she left him there. And Samuel stayed there. And Samuel would become one of the greatest leaders that the nation of Israel ever had. Let me ask you a question tonight. Moms, are you praying for your children? Are you teaching them about the love of Jesus tonight? Are you sharing God's word with them? Are you growing them up in a prayerful home environment? Do you pray with them at night before they go to bed? Do you pray for them before they leave of a morning? Do you pray at the table before your meals? You see, Hannah was a mom that had committed herself to the Lord. I think about kids today. I think about so many kids that we see. We wonder why the school shootings. We wonder why the tragedies that kids are caught up in. We wonder why life is so strangely different and ever changing from the culture of the days of the 50s and the early 60s when life was so much different then. Families ate together three meals a day for the most part. Families prayed together. Families stayed together. Because of all of the changing issues and the changing times, let me tell you, Jimmy Carter, when he became the president of the United States, Jimmy Carter said, we must adapt ourselves to the changing times, but still hold on to unchanging principles. Let me tell you, I've never forgotten that. We must adapt ourselves to the changing times, but still hold on to unchanging principles. What are those unchanging principles? It's the Word of God. Because he's truth. Society may change. Culture may change. The godless world that these kids are growing up in today may say, we don't want the Ten Commandments. We don't want the Word of God. We don't want prayer in our schools. We don't want to have anything to do with those that believe in pro-life issues. We could care less what the Bible said about marriage thousands of years ago. You see, that's the society your children, that's the society your grandchildren are growing up in tonight. And let me just tell you, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, it's not going to get any better. According to the scripture, according to the last book in the book of Revelation, it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. That ought to make every Christian more challenged to be more fervent in our prayer lives every single day. Let me tell you, parents, moms, single families, blended families, let me tell you, there's a lot of challenges out there. Let me tell you, church, we need to be praying consistently. We need to be praying expectantly. We need to be praying faithfully. We need to be praying fervently for the effectual prayer, the book of James says, of a righteous man avails much. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Parents, how are you rearing your children in the 21st century in a very godless society that we are living in? Let me tell you, back in the 1940s and 30s and 20s, the 1950s, the early part of the 1960s, before the sexual revolution in Woodstock yet, before all of those things became great changes in our world today. And as one college professor of mine said one time, never let the pendulum swing so far in one direction that it cannot swing back to where it is. I'm afraid the pendulum has swung too far in the wrong direction. I'm afraid we've gone too far. And I'm afraid that pendulum will never swing back. Thank God for Christians who stand for what is right, for what is true, for what is moral, for the principles and the values set forth in the Word of God. Church, that ought to be a great challenge to us more than ever before, is to pray for our children and to pray for our grandchildren. They have many challenges ahead of them. And if we don't tell them, who will? Train up a child in the way he should go. The Bible says when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Let me tell you, things our mothers taught us. I loved when Paul was writing to Timothy. And he spoke about the faith that was not only in Timothy's mother, but in his grandmother as well, Eunice and Lois, and the importance of that. Grandparents, you have a great responsibility. Moms, you have a great responsibility. Lead those children to love Jesus with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. Let me tell you, you may not have them much, because in our culture today, and if you're going to have any kind of relationship with your children or grandchildren, especially your grandchildren, you're probably going to have to be a texter. How many grandparents out there know how to text? All right, a bunch of you do. You know what I'm talking about. They'll say, don't call me, I'll text you. Do you know what I'm talking about tonight? We live in a very challenging world. And let me tell you, I feel sorry for this group of kids that are growing up in a different world than what I grew up in. Oh yeah, they would see it as being old fogey. They would see it as being, you know, what on earth is that all about? Folks, I wouldn't trade for the days that I grew up. What about you? Let me tell you, we had challenges, but we didn't have these challenges. Let me tell you, we knew that marriage was between a man and a woman. We knew that to kill a baby in the womb was murder. But you see, let me tell you, society is changing the culture, and the kids are confused, and the kids don't know what to think, because everything is just subject to your interpretation of what is truth out there. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am truth. Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven one of these days, God said, if you want to go to heaven, there's only one way you're going to get to go. It's through my Son, Jesus Christ, and his shed blood on the cross for the remission of sins. Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I am life. If you want eternal life, Jesus said, look at me, I am life. I am the resurrection and the life. I want to challenge each one of us here this evening. May we be a church that is much more prayerful than we've ever been, for all of the challenges of these young families and of what they're experiencing, and these grandparents who are rearing their grandchildren. May God bless you. Thank you for your presence here tonight. Would you stand as we pray together?